Like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. Perhaps we can open in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy love letter, we've opened thy word. Spirit of God, you have given it to us. And you're able to bring forth that which will help us. So deal with us. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Spirit of God, honor him. Honor your word. And that, Father, we would honor you. In Christ's name, amen. And we share together in the Gospel of John that God all only, always, forever is God. There is nothing else except God. There is no space, there's nothing, just God. God in his infinite, invisible person. And then God created in the midst of his timelessness. He created angels. Lucifer, son of the morning, the light, Lucifer, light, morning, light. Became dark because he sinned. He lost his relationship to God. And thus, he in his fall, all the angels, many angels fell with him. In the process of that, God took another step, and he went and created again. In the Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and God did it again, this time for angels. And he started with darkness, and the world was out form and void and dark, and was over the surface, and the Spirit of God, who is light, God is light, brought life and light to that darkness. And thus the morning and evening were the first day, and thus the night and the morning continue day in and night out, always and forever. Now, reminding us, at least in time, that God, it's an issue. It's an issue about light and darkness. And so as we read in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, etc., the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word become flesh. And God did a wonderful thing for us. God is going to reveal himself in a wonderful way. And all of the prophets and all of the Old Testament, all the prophets and all the seers and priest and from Moses on down, all of them. They wrote about a wonderful God. And God, as they wrote, the human heart could understand as they wished to. And God blessed them. God sent his Son as the final, fullest explanation. God, what are you like? God sent his Son. The Word became flesh. Now, we also share together in the process that he made everything. Everything that was made, he made it. There was nothing that was created that he didn't create. No bug, bird, post, wood, tree, nothing. There's nothing anywhere in forever that he didn't create. Now, having said that, and thus we share together in the process, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And he is the one who made everything. He made all the living, everything that has life. Bug, bird, cabbage doesn't have life like you do, but humans especially. And they have life. So how did God do it? God had us born of a woman, and thus we're given physical life. We're given physical life. We're made alive. Who does that? God made us alive. We're living. Now, God made us alive so that we could know him and honor him. And we had to be alive physically in order to enter into a relationship to God. And thus, in the process, God, who made us alive, gives us light. The Lord Jesus Christ provides light. God provides light. All the way through history, God has given light to the living so that the living might know why we're here. Why are we humans? Why are we here? What are we doing? How long are we here for? all the different questions that line up about us, about your life, why, who, what, when, where, how, they're all answered in the person of Jesus Christ. God brings all of those questions and all of that which is unknown into focus so that we can understand. Now, and thus God gives light to humans so that they can understand why are they here. God, the Creator, put them here. So God, the Creator, put them here, and he died for them. Genesis 3:15, way back in the beginning of the first man, Cain, Adam, and Eve, God told them he provided a wonderful Savior. So redemption. He's the Creator, he's the Savior, and God gives light so that we know that. And thus we share together in the process that John the Baptist, of course, is going to come, and he personifies, he brings together all of the Old Testament, all of the prophets, and all of the truth, and all of their, the Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, as it would say in Luke 24. The Lord Jesus said, "They speak of me." And John the Baptist, his assignment was to bring so that as you read the 39 books of the Old Testament, you would come and there's John saying the 39, the Old Testament points to our Lord Jesus Christ. And John focuses. He's the greatest and last of the prophets, Old Testament. No one's greater. His assignment is given. He's given maximum privilege. To point, he's a voice in the wilderness pointing to the Son of God. Now, having said that, if I can, in verse 5, you would remember, and light shineth, is shining in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It was not, it dark, and remember, darkness is doing the action. Darkness cannot comprehend. Comprehend means is unable to go and overcome, cannot overthrow. Cannot put out the light. Darkness makes every kind of effort to extinguish the light. Extinguish the light. And so as you go down the corridor of time, you have the Genesis flood, etc., etc., etc. And in the process, all the time, the crucifixion of Christ, the persecution of the Jew, to put out the light, to put out the light, to put out the light, to get rid of the light. Because light makes for life. And we don't want to have life, we want to have death. We want the absence of light. The light is, darkness is the absence of light. And thus, darkness does not want to have light existent. Light removes darkness. Darkness cannot afford to have light. Thus, it comprehended it not. It opposed it. It opposes it. It did, it does, and it will. Opposes light. Now, having said that, and remember darkness conceals and light reveals, and the word light to shine forth, to make something clear, show it forth, to make it conspicuous, obvious to the senses, to shine, to manifest, to light versus darkness. Now, having said that, and keeping in mind 1 John 1:5, that God is light and in him is no darkness. God is light, no darkness at all. Now, having said that, those things, to remind us, now, in the light of the absence of God, then there is absence of life. The absence of God is the absence of light. Life and light are missing. Now, John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world. What do you mean? Darkness is opposing light. How so? Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It knows him not. The world does not know him. It does not know him. The world doesn't. Darkness, light, darkness conceals, light reveals. The world is in darkness. And the devil and the system doesn't want light. Now, and the end of verse 10, the world knew him not. And in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So there is the rejection. In verse 10, by the way, The word he, personal pronoun, goes back up to 1, verse 1, the word, and in verse 14, the word become flesh. So he was in the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, was in the world was made by him, God made the world, God made everything. That's right. In the beginning, God created it all. But the world did not know him. Now the world, the literal material physical world, you understand that. And you have physical life, you live in a physical world. And you have physical life. And physical world is all around us. We can go in an airplane, a spaceship, or astronaut and sail all around it and look at the physical world. We live on an earth that is earthly, physical. And we are of the earth, physical. And here we are on planet Earth. And so we're here. We're living here. And God gives us physical life. Now hang on. And secondly, if you would, humans were born. We were born into this physical world, physically so. And we were born into this world. And we were born mentally, morally, physically into the world. Now, what do we know about that? Over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Just make sure we're on the same page here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And if I may, in verse 7. You are familiar with it. We're in the world. We're physically in the material world. We are here. Now, what do you know about your life? Your life, my life, everyone else's life, everyone that was ever born on this physical world, sitting here, this planet, everyone that was born on this planet, what do we know? Well, we know what? Verse 7. For we brought, how much? Nothing into the world. Not one human being brought anything into this world. It already was what it was and is, and humans came into it. They brought nothing in. Finishing the statement, they brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. We bring nothing in, we take nothing out. Genesis 3:19, we are made from the dust, we are dust, we go back to dust. Your physical, everything stays. Nothing goes, nothing. You brought nothing in, you take nothing out. Now, also, without turning there, Job will say the same thing in Job 1 and verse 21. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Same thing. I came in naked, I go out naked. That's how it goes. Now, having said that, we brought nothing into the world. So the world, physically, here we are in this world system, world's world, and then there is a world system. A system, people, humans that live in the world have a way to live on this earth. And that is called the world system. That's the physical world. And then there's what is the world system, which is what you're reading about. The world system. Christ came into the world and the world knew him not. Not the physical world, the system. Humans. Humans living with the absence of God. God is missing. God is not to be found. God is not to be found. The world knew him not. Knew him not. The world system knew him not. Over again, if you would please, to Romans and chapter 1 again, just to make sure you lock it in. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 20. So here we are in the world. We have physical life. We bring nothing in. We take nothing out. And the world, everyone that's born, humans, live on the earth, physical, and then they have the opportunity to know. But the system, the world system, and wonderful, awesome system, I say wonderful in the sense of awe, the world system is a system that is so designed to exclude God, to remove God, to make sure there is no light, no light whatsoever in that. Romans 1 and verse 20. Remember, he was in the world knew him not. He was in the physical world, and the world system knew him not. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. God made it all. Even his eternal power, his wonderful omnipotence and his Godhead, his deity, so that there's no way so that they are without excuse. Because, reason, verse 21, that when they knew God, they had opportunity to know, have a relationship, a true, real, right relationship with the object, God. When they had opportunity, it was sitting in front of them. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They did not give him the glory and the honor. They did not do it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth showeth his handiwork. They would not give God the glory. And so knowing God's wonderful person, existence, they threw it aside. And they know him not, knew him not. So now, and thus in verse 21, they glorify him not, neither were thankful. They were not thankful in their heart. So they know him not, having not, they glorified him not as God, and they failed to recognize his person, who he is, and the world should have known, could have known, chose not to know. The world system chose not to know who created the world, the Creator. They chose not to know. Now, having said that, and they did not know, and they didn't care to know. The world didn't care to know. Now, just taking, if you can, remember back with Genesis 4. Cain and Abel, they both know God. Abel chooses to exercise the relationship properly by bringing a sacrifice, by the shedding of blood. Cain knows God and chooses not to recognize the relationship and chooses to violate the relationship, and he would not yield dependence. He would not submit. He would not give God the right to be who he is and who he was. Cain would not do that. Now, so here, here's Cain, Abel. Abel's going to trust God. Cain is not. Now, what are we going to then have? Well, then we're going to go to the Genesis flood. And in the Genesis flood, what did the world do? The world, remember now, there's no church, there's no religion, there's no confusion. God is God. So if you were living in Noah's day, God is God, and all of us down here are running around, up and down, doing what we're doing while Noah's building an ark. We're all running around doing our thing, giving in marriage and doing everything. And we're all doing it. And God is God, but we choose not to know him. How so? Eight souls, only eight, because of Noah and his wife, only eight souls enter the ark. All the rest of them know God, but they chose not to know him. They chose to exclude him from their existence, from their practical life. And they had no life. They were alive, but they never knew life. They had no rightness. They had no light. They rejected the light. They loved darkness rather than light. Now, and so you come to the Tower of Babel after the Noahic flood. And what are they doing? They build a tower in a city, religious, political. And what are they doing? They're going to go. And are you going? Don't you know God? Uh-huh. But we're not going to honor him as God. We're not going to worship him. We're not going to allow him to be govern, rule, and reign in our life. And so they built the city and tower, etc. And they did that. They followed Cain's lead, not to know God. They knew God, but they knew him not. All the way down, we're going down the corridor of time, and the world, Christ comes into the world in his perfect humanity, and the world knew him not. The world knew him not, as we shared last time. Now, over in Acts, go to Psalm, if you would, to Psalm 19. Well, Psalm 9, better. Psalm 9. Not only, now remember the Noahic flood and then the Tower of Babel and all the nations come into existence. Now, what do we know about the nations in a simple, quick way? Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. I'm going to slide down to verse 20. put them, verse 19, arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen, the nations, be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. They're only humans. And they're making their humanness the highest there is. They're making themselves equal as the devil would. And the Genesis 3:5, to be as gods. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God. And everyone's thinking, we're it. We're it. We're above the buffalo and the bumblebee. And we're it. We're the top of the pile. Now, having said that, over to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. And we could go on. I just wanted to get the nations. All the nations, all their gods are idols. They are not God. And if we took time, we could have looked at that. Acts chapter 14, picking up just the thought. Verse 15, going as we can to Lystra, Paul in Lystra. And saying, verse 15, chapter 14, and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities, idols, unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations, permitted all nations to walk in their own ways. Everyone's doing their own thing in their own eyes, and they know not God. God is left out. They have a clear thing with God, and then they get it covered and covered and covered and covered, and they lose. They have no sense of God. Thus, Hosea chapter 4. They have no sense of God as you go down the corridor of time. Let me show you first with Israel. In Hosea, and chapter 4, Hosea 4, verse 1. Hear the word of Lord, message to Israel. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. Why? For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. What is it about? Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. But we're Jews. We have the temple. We have all of these different things. That's right. But you don't know. But we have all kinds of things. Church and Bibles, make believe. We got everything. But no, you got nothing. You don't know. Thus, the end of chapter 4, verse 1, had no knowledge of God in the land. Now, that's Israel. Now, if anyone should have it, they should have it. Shouldn't they? I mean, if anyone should have light, it should be the people where the power plant is, where all the light bulbs are. But it's dark. Verse 6, you'll remember. My people, 4 and 6, my people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. Well, why don't you know? Romans 1, 20 and 21, when they knew God, they glorified him what? Not as God. So it was never, never, never that you never knew. It's what you knew you put aside and ended up not knowing. You could have known, should have known, chose not to know, and you don't know. Why? Because you put it aside. Now, hang on. Verse 14. I'll read the verse. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. They have rejected knowledge. And if you don't understand, and you're in the dark, no light, you're going to fall. There's no way to make it, because you're in the dark. Darkness conceals, light reveals, and you don't want to see. Thus, over to John, the Gospel of John, Chapter 18, There's no truth. Well, here's Israel, and here's a Gentile. Here's Pontius Pilate. They should know, but they don't know. Chapter 18 in John, picking up, please, in verse 37. Pilate, a Gentile, Roman, therefore said unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? In the light of Rome, in the light of all the idols, in the light of all the religions, here's the great Roman conquest, governing all kinds of countries with all kinds of idols. We have all kinds of idols, all kinds of religions. Who knows the truth? Who knows the truth? Said Pontius Pilate. The Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Well, where else am I going to go? Well, you could read 1,000 books. You can go to 1,000 places of the world. You can sit in 1,000 temples. You can sit and hear all kinds of lectures, have all kinds of philosophical stuff put in front of you. You can rationalize. You can play the whole game. And when you're all done, and you've spent a lot of money, and you've spent your lifetime, you will know nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing. Now, thus, in the process, so the world is going to go and exclude God, has no room for God, denies him, denies the Lord Jesus Christ, his wonderful place, his wonderful person. Now, in the light of that, the world knew him not. Now, what do you know? Well, the world system now, not the physical world, the world system tells us in James, you don't have to turn there, is no friend. You can't. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy with God. The world system is darkness, is an interested in light, opposes the light, would overthrow the light, would put out the light. And all the time there's persecution trying to get rid of the light, trying to get rid of God, trying to get rid of Christ, trying to get rid of the Bible, somehow, somewhere, to get rid of it. Now, having said that, and you would know over in 1 Corinthians that when the world by wisdom knew not Christ, in the name of wisdom, Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they what? Became fools. And 1 Corinthians 1, 20 and 21. In all our knowledge, the Lord said, where is the scribe? Where is the wisdom? In your effort to tell how wonderful you are left in darkness, and you know not. In your wisdom, you end up being foolish. Now, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. So the world doesn't know. And the world isn't friends. The world doesn't want to know. So the world knew him not. Why doesn't the world want to know him? Because it loves darkness, what? Rather than light. That's why the world doesn't want to know. So you have to guess at it. The world doesn't want to know. Why don't the people in your neighborhood, people that you work with, people down the street, people in your school, why don't they want to know? Obvious? It's obvious. Flowers, plants, your physical body, the stars, etc., etc. It's obvious. Why don't we want to know? Because we don't want to know. We love darkness rather than light. And if you choose, willfully choose not to know, then you don't know. And you don't know because you chose not to know. And then you will say freely, I don't know. I don't know. How'd you manage that? By saying, I didn't want to know. I could have known. I should know. But I choose not to know leads me to be able to say freely, I don't know. Who knows what the truth is? Who knows what's right? You see? Now, over in Ephesians chapter 2, the course, the God of this, the world, the world system in which we live, looking at the world system and all of its variety and complexity, here's the world system. And it's a system of darkness. And you'll notice, please, in giving an explanation, Ephesians 2, verse 2. Wherein in times past you walked, you behaved yourself according to the course of this world. The course means breathing, a breath. How many breaths? How far do you go at a given moment of time? What's the length of a given time? You're breathing, the breathing of a given moment. 10 years, 2 years, 1 year. Breathing. In the course, the outworking of the program, the outworking of it. In verse 2, where in time past you walked, behaved according to the course, the breathing, the outworking. The life that so hastes away. The course of this world system. That's right, the world system is there. And according to the world, the grass is always there, the trees are there, the sun, moon, and stars are there. But people aren't there. They're only here for a little bit, and then they bring nothing in. They take nothing out. They come aboard the ship, and they leave the ship. And then the next crew comes on, and that's what they do. And the world, John, what are you saying? The world knows them not. They knew him not. Thus, in verse 2, according to the movement of this world system, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is working in the children of disobedience, working. It's under a system. It's a system, a satanic system to keep you what? In the dark. Not a satanic system to teach you about the devil. The devil doesn't teach you about himself. He doesn't tell you his magnificence, what he had, what he lost, why he did it. There's none of that. The devil doesn't even mention himself except the little devil's food can. You know, remember that? The devil isn't going to tell you anything. Never. Never is the devil going to tell you. Why? Well, because it's his system. And he's the one in power. And so now, and it's working in all of us, and we don't know it. We can't point to the enemy. Because the enemy, where is the enemy? The enemy is all around us. We are the enemy. It's our system. It's our way to live, get out of bed in the morning, go to work, home, school, play, brush our teeth, and do everything without God. Without honoring God, without worshiping God, without acknowledging God, excluding him. Wow. Now, verse 12. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, the end of verse 12, and what? Without God in the world. No God. They had no knowledge of God. Why not? They chose not to. So here we are in a world, and you need John, what are you doing? John's looking back. John's helping us. John's looking back, 95, 96, he's the last living apostle. He looks back into history, goes way back to Genesis, comes forward all the way through, and tells you when the Lord came, this is what happened. What was going to happen? The world knew him not. His own received him not. Now, John, what are you going to tell us? I'm going to tell you, pointing back, I'm telling you, that's the Gospel of John, pointing back into history, I want you to understand the present in the light of the future. I want you to understand the present in the light of the future. The future's coming up. So I want you to understand that so you don't get hooked now. Do you understand what is going on? So why can't everyone love God and love church? Why can't it all be nice and wonderful and true? Because it loves darkness. And there is no light. And there is no truth whatsoever. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you would, oh, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Now, John, what do you want us to know? Here we are, in the light of the world knew him not, and we just try to have a little reminder of why the world doesn't know him. They chose not to know him. Men love darkness rather than light. John the Baptist, what is your ministry? To the Jew, to the world. 29, verse 29, chapter 1. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith unto him, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ came into the world, 1 Timothy, to save sinners. Sinners. He's the Savior of the world, to take away the sin of the world. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. What are they missing out? What is the world doing? Well, the world still is in its sin because it refuses to know him, honor him. God has all kinds of things you've done, John. God has done it for the world, but the world didn't know him. So maybe the world is off the hook, John 1, 20 and 21. The world is guilty. They are without what? Excuse. John 1, 20, 21, 22, 23. They're guilty, and they're without excuse. Everyone. Oh, no. Yes, they're without excuse. They're guilty. Thus, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John chapter 8. If I can, in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So if you would just honor me, that's the purpose of his coming, to save the world, to shed, give light in the darkness, to make that which is wrong right. John 8, verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, You are born from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world's system. I am not of this world's system. You are. And that's why you've got a problem. Now, having said that, dear friends, over, if you would, in John chapter 3, what the world, what do you know if you're in the world? God, the world knew him not. What are they missing out? They chose not to acknowledge him. They chose John 3 and in, John 3 and verse 16, they chose not to believe, and thus the end, to have eternal life so that they would never perish. They chose to be judged. God would bring the, verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent his son to save, to judge, not to judge, to set them free, to believe. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why so? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What is this condemnation about? What is it all about? And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds, his works, should be reproved and be made manifest. Who wants to have that put on the table? No one wants that on the table. God, what am I doing? Well, the world has rejected what? Rejected the Lamb, rejected the Savior, rejected God's saving grace, and they've rejected it. Rejected it. They know him not. Over, if you would, chapter 6, John 6. So when you're looking out there with friends, home, neighbors, people come and go in our world, what do you know? Well, they don't know him. But the reason they don't know him is because they don't want to know him, at least at that point. They could know him. But if they don't know him, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior now, it's because you've chosen not to know him. It's nothing to do with anyone else. It's a personal choice. And you can make it or not make it. And you can do it. And it's your privilege. And no one in the world can make you change your mind. If you want to say no to God, that's your privilege to say no to God. It is also your privilege to say yes to God. Take your pick. So we aren't going to sit and feel sorry for anybody. No, they need to be saved. Remember, the Lord Jesus will say in John 17, we can't read it now, I pray not for the world. I'm not praying for the world. Why? They need to believe. They have been given a command to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And they choose not to believe. But until they believe, nothing. Wow. God. So here we are looking. And in John 6, verse 35. John 6 and verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Wow. I wish they knew him not. They should have known him. Wow. Verse 51. I am the bread of living. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I want to know, I've come to die so that you could have light for the living people that can know why they're made alive, so they could have light, light, light. Wonderful, wonderful light. So now, here's the world. The world knew him not. Now, what do we know? And that he came unto his own received him not. So here I am as a Gentile, make believe, living in the world, as we are a Gentile, living in the world. And here we are, and here's the nations. Why are nations, why is the world so comfortable not knowing him, generally speaking? Why so? Because the Jewish people, who should have known him, rejected him. Pilate said, are you the king? He said, yes, I am. Are you truth? Yes, I am. I am the truth. Now, but he isn't. So now the Jewish people have put him aside. So why should Gentiles believe in the Jewish Messiah when they reject him? They reject the Messiah. And thus they're given an excuse. And now you come to the church, and the church, what is the church doing? We've got all kinds of churches, saviors, Jesuses, lords, systems, solutions, preaching, practice. And we can take the words of Pontius Pilate. What is the truth? Which is the truth? Where do you go for the truth? Which church, which group, which religion? Where do you go for the truth? That's why all of that encourages the world to not need to know God. Understand? The people that know him deny him in practice. So why do you need to know God? No one else does, not even the church people who say they know him, don't know him, you see. So now, God, here we are. John, we're looking. We want to recognize our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be convinced. You said that you would reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to convict, to convince the world. Convince the world, that's right. The Spirit of God said, I'm going to convince you. I'm going to make a case against you, so I'll prove you wrong. You're wrong. No, we're right. Darkness loves darkness. We don't want to know light. God said, I'm going to prove you wrong. Light happens to be right. Darkness makes for wrong. I want you to know, said the Spirit of God, you're wrong. I'm convicting you. You're wrong. No, you're wrong. Now, watch. And we'll close with it. You got the idea. I hope you got the idea. Wow. In John. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Here we are. We're listening to you. We're reading what you said. So we understand. When the Lord came, the world knew him not, the world knows him not, and here we are standing here, and you're writing the Gospel of John so that we understand that here we are, so we're looking back to the cross, and we're looking ahead to the future, and we understand what's happening in the world. The world doesn't know him. That's right. John chapter 14, picking up please in verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my... Well, before I do that, let me do it a little different. John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. The Lord Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. The world system isn't interested in you getting into the light. The world system isn't interested for you to know the truth. The devil is a liar, and he will never, never tell you the truth. The world system will never tell you the truth. It'll be religious and look good. It'll never tell you the truth. So if I'm looking to the world system to help me understand, forget it. Forget it. And many, many attempts are made to analyze and put it together. But no one pays attention to them even when they're done. Thus, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27, I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, verse 27, neither let it be afraid. I'm going to give you peace, but not as the world giveth peace to you. Not like that. John chapter 14, verse 1. What do you mean? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Remember, I'm not going to give you like the world. The world isn't going to tell you to believe God. It isn't going to tell you that. The world isn't, well, I don't even want you to get close to God. God is light and him is no darkness. No, you got to stay away from God. Be religious, you can spell God. Big G, little G, you spell it any way you want. You can use the term. Just don't understand what G-O-D means. In the beginning, God created. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. Don't understand that. You can have God, but make sure he isn't God. Allah, you can have whatever you wish, but not God. Thus, in our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, that's what I'm doing. So I want you not to be upset. And the world isn't going to make you. The world isn't going to make you content, comfortable, confident, in and of and by itself. It isn't going to do that. Nope, you're going to have to get to God. The world knows him not. And dear John, what are you writing for? So that we as believers understand the world knows him not, and that we aren't going to get caught up in where they're at. I'm not going to follow the lead of what? The media, the newspaper, the television, the people? Am I what I'm going to follow? No, I'm not going to get anywhere. No, I've got to turn to you, God. And fortunately, I can be in the middle of nowhere. And you're there. In the middle of the desert, on the top of a penthouse building, in the sewer. God, you're there. In the middle of the crowded building, you're there. And I can turn to you and honor you, God. It's my privilege. And I want to, that's what you're telling me, John. I want to benefit. I want to benefit from it. That's right. So that you don't get hung up. Peace I give you, though. And I want you to know, my Father's house, I'm coming to get you. And by the way, chapter 16 in closing. Chapter 16. And you will notice, if I can, chapter 16, you know, all of the upper, you could do all of it. Just read it. It's all about what? God trying to encourage your heart in a world that doesn't know him. A world that won't receive him. God said, John, what are you writing for? For you that believe. For you that would believe to have the benefit of believing. Thus, John chapter 16, verse 33, you know. These things have I spoken unto you, that in our Lord Jesus Christ, you might have peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. In the world, you shall have tribulation, pressure, squeezing, squashing, all kinds of oppression, etc. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good courage. I have overcome the world system. Greater is he, 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in what? The world. You got it? Yeah. I got it. God said, relax. I give you the privilege of light. Make sure you stay in the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will what? Cleanse you from all sin. Do you understand? That's a marvelous thing, isn't it? The world doesn't know him. I go to work and they're all excited. Go to home school, they're all excited about God, right? Go in the grocery store, they're all reading the Bible, right? No, they're doing what they do. And you have the privilege of knowing him. If you take it. I want to be in the light. I don't want to be in the dark. I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right. Why do I want to be right? I want it to come out right. I don't want it to come out wrong. I want it to come out right. God. That's what I want. And the only way I can do that is to look to you to provide to me, for me, the rightness that I do not have in the person of Jesus Christ. God, make it so. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy word and grace and kindness. And God, help us a little bit. Help us a lot. God, thank you for loving us, caring. Thank you, our God, for the sun by day and the moon by night. Thank you for darkness, that we would appreciate light. Thank you for light that helps us understand darkness. Thank you for life that allows us to have light. Thank you for light that allows us to have your life and understand it. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. So for those who may know not you as their personal Savior, God, deal with their heart and head and convict them of sin, Spirit of God, of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that they might truly be saved. Spirit of God, do a wonderful work in our heart. We're so fortunate. We're so privileged to be able to say, I know you. I know you, my God. I know you, Lord Jesus, my Savior. I know you, my Heavenly Father. Father, thank you that I am able to have life because of light, the light of your word. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.